Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We get you set for the NBA draft lottery tonight. We have to break down a lot of prospects, and we do so with the preeminent insider in college basketball. That's John Rothstein of CBS Sports. John, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for it. How you been, my friend?
Zach, always great to be with one of the rising superstars in talk radio.
Well, I really do appreciate that. Now, I need your food scouting report first before we get into some of the draft prospects. I'm leaving Long Island and heading back into the city on Monday. I always see you tweeting about Bar Coastal. I love wings. I need the full scouting report, John.
Well, first of all, if you're in Long Island right now, you got to get onto, I believe it's the Meadowbrook Parkway, exit M1, and go to Vincent's Clam Bar in Carl Place. Ask for a gentleman by the name of Bobby and drop my name, and he'll take care of you. It's the best Italian restaurant on Long Island.
Perfect. And then when I get back into the city, Bar Coastal, I need a physical description from you on the air about it, on what I'm expecting when I go to Bar Coastal.
Well, my buddy John Shambi, who you know is one of the elite play-by-play guys in our business, you know, an unbelievable baseball announcer. He and I have, the past, maybe 5 to 7 years, have always frequented Bar Coastal when we got together and caught up or whatever. And, you know, we got wings there one time, and he goes, "Have you had them Kerry's way?" And I said, "No, what's that?" And it's this unique off-the-menu sauce that's a little bit of honey mustard. It's a little bit of buffalo, but the blend is to die for. So if you're a wing person, there are no better wings in the world.
Well, you've seen the size of me. You know I'm a wings person. There's no doubt about that. Hey, John Rothstein here with us. I haven't talked to you since the world has literally flipped upside down with this pandemic. When I think of March Madness, you're one of the first people I think of with all the insight you bring us. What was it like for you? What did you do with no college basketball in March?
You know, Zach, I appreciate you asking that first, because it was a difficult March for everybody. It's been a difficult year for everybody. But, you know, for me especially, you know, for the better part right now of a decade and a half, I've been putting time in the preseason, traveling the country, going to see about 35 to 45 schools a year. And I kind of felt like, and this may make sense or not make sense, but I kind of felt like for 11 months I was making a dessert. And the cake had just come out of the oven and I had just iced it. And then somebody told me I couldn't have it.
It's absolutely brutal. It's really upsetting. Like, we all know what's going on in the world is awful, but when you hear it that way from someone like you, who is so positive and always gives tremendous insight in college basketball, it's devastating. And, hey, for next year, everyone's starting to get to next NCAA season in college basketball. We see what's going on with football right now. What are you hearing about this upcoming NCAA basketball season?
Well, this much I can tell you, you know, we are going to have an NCAA tournament, and that means we're going to have college basketball before, because there has to be inventory in place to seed an NCAA tournament. Now, this is what I can tell you. The decision makers, the people of influence, are looking specifically at the window between the latter days of November around Thanksgiving time and the early days of January as a pivotal time to get non-conference inventory played. What exactly does that look like? Nobody really knows. I do know, and I reported this yesterday, that following the success of the NBA restart in Orlando, one of the things that I'm hearing is that Orlando is being looked at as a unified location where several non-conference tournaments could be played at one venue in a safe situation, you know, in a bubble type scenario. And then obviously, if you have multiple tournaments going on, Zach, 2 or 3 days after that tournament is done, you'll have more teams to potentially play more scheduled games down the road. So there's a lot of speculating on speculation, but this is something that is not speculating at all. There will be an NCAA tournament in 2021.
We know that a bubble obviously can work when you see what's going on with the two hub cities in the NHL and then the one hub city of Orlando with the NBA. But when it comes to student athletes, does a bubble work for student athletes? Because I'm sure there's a lot of schools around the country that are learning virtually, but you may have some schools that are still making you go to one or two classes in person.
Right, but I think one of the reasons why that window between late November and obviously the early part of January is so valuable is because we have seen so many different colleges and universities say that they are going to have their fall semester be over by Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So in that case, we are not going to see students at that time that will have academic commitments. And Zach, even if there are academic commitments in place and people are learning virtually, you can still delegate time in the day for those kids to have study hall, to work on obviously their assignments and blend that together with obviously the requirements and the commitments that go along with being a college basketball player.
I know you said a few times since being on with us, as John Rothstein is here with us, that there will be an NCAA tournament next year. Will that be a full NCAA tournament, regular field, or could we see more teams or could it be less teams for this upcoming season?
Again, one of my mottos in life is not to speculate on speculation. I'm not going to speculate on speculation. I'm just telling you this. There will be an NCAA tournament in 2021. We have seen a lot of negative energy really cast upon the world in 2020. We have seen a situation where you have had different dynamics come to the forefront with negativity. There's not going to be a season. You know, you're not going to see any type of football played. I am telling you, and I'm not saying there's not going to be hiccups along the way, but I'm telling you this. There's going to be an NCAA tournament. There's going to be a season. What is that going to look like? A lot like the great Sylvester Stallone said in Rambo 2, it's day by day.
Why are you so confident? Now, I agree with you. I want there to be a season. I would love there to be a season. It'd be great to see the world get somewhat back to normal. Why are you with 100% certainty for sure that there will be a tournament?
We have examples right now of basketball being played at a high level in a bubble type setting. You're seeing it with the NBA. You're seeing it with the WNBA. And quite frankly, from a financial perspective, we have to have an NCAA tournament because you've seen over the past couple of days the financial numbers of what the NCAA makes from having a tournament. I believe it's just south of $900 million. So the NCAA as an organization couldn't afford to lose in back-to-back type of years that type of an income. If it did, it would be a major, major blow to not just college basketball, but I think the infrastructure of college sports moving forward.
The number one insider for college basketball for CBS, John Rothstein, here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we get to this draft lottery tonight, let's go through a bunch of prospects. I'll start off with what I thought was the best story in college basketball last year, and that was Dayton, led by the National Player of the Year in Obi Toppin. It was a shame not to see him in the NCAA tournament, obviously, but yep. When you see that jump from college to the pros with his great rise, what are the things to look for when he becomes a professional?
High-level efficiency. I mean, he was over 50% from the field in 28 of his 31 games. I mean, the big thing I look at with Obi Toppin to next level is this. He will be at his best and has the best chance to be near his ceiling if he plays with a high-level point guard. You have to remember, Dayton was the most aesthetically pleasing team in college basketball last season and was third in the country in assists. Obi Toppin has improved as a three-point shooter. He made 12 three-point shots as a freshman, 33 as a sophomore. But, Zach, I look at this as a type of example. When you look at Obi Toppin in screen and roll situations and you look at the overall offensive repertoire that he possesses, it's a lot like the way Amari Stoudemire played when he was with the Phoenix Suns. Who did Amari Stoudemire have with the Phoenix Suns? Steve Nash when he was a two-time most valuable player. If Obi Toppin plays with a point guard that can set the table, Obi Toppin has a chance to be not a good, but a very good NBA player.
We go from the most successful story in college basketball from a year ago to the most disappointing, and it wasn't his fault. James Wiseman, who I guess was with the Memphis program not for all that long. When you look at Wiseman, is there any concern with him missing that time at all, or you think this guy's going to be a no-doubt-about-it stud in the NBA?
Well, it's a small sample size. We've got three games for James Wiseman last year on the board, only one of which was against high major competition. That was a game that the Tigers lost to Oregon earlier in the year in a Phil Knight event. Look, I've talked to several NBA scouts about this in the past couple of days, and the one thing that keeps coming up consistently is this. James Wiseman, if he played a full season, would be looked at entering this draft like another Chris Bosh. But right now, people are viewing him as a big question mark when it comes to his intangibles. Does he really want to be a great basketball player? What are his main priorities? Chris Bosh without the intangibles. That's the comparison right now for James Wiseman in most NBA circles.
John Rothstein here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. John, let me get to Anthony Edwards out of Georgia. You're a big fan of him, or are there any concerns there?
He is a freak from an athletic perspective. I mean, he's got size, he's got physicality that, you know, just don't really register when you think about college freshmen. And here's something, Zach, that I thought really stood out when you want to talk about Anthony Edwards. In a conversation I had last year with Tom Crean, this is a guy who you got to remember, Coach Dwayne Wade at Marquette, Coach Victor Oladipo at Indiana. He told me after a couple of weeks of having Anthony Edwards work out that he had not been around anything in his career physically like Anthony Edwards brought to the table. That isn't to say that Anthony Edwards, obviously, you know, is going to be the same player as Dwayne Wade or Victor Oladipo, but from a physical perspective, he was at the top of the list when it came to the players that Tom Crean coached. Now, Georgia only finished 13th in the SEC last year. Georgia only finished 16-16 overall. The shot selection has to improve. I think you'll see him be a better player in the NBA because there'll be more space to operate under. But you got to see the shot selection improve. You got to see the intensity defensively improve. From a physical perspective, Anthony Edwards is checking all the boxes.
Is he the best player in the draft, in your opinion?
There are three players at the top that I look at that are above the rest that I think will be competing for the top overall pick. And it's Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, and LaMelo Ball. Now, this is the type of draft, this is the type of lottery that I don't know if it's necessarily a victory lap if you get the number one overall pick. This isn't a year ago like what we saw with Zion Williamson. I think you're going to see an NBA draft where you may not have a lot of superstars in this draft, but I think if you're looking for starters in the NBA, guys who can fill a role in the rotation, that's the type of NBA draft you're looking at.
When we look at LaMelo Ball, his brother Lonzo was a top three pick as well, went number two overall to the Lakers, and he hasn't been as good as he was advertised coming out of college. We know, obviously, when you had the last name Ball, there's all this stuff with LaVar Ball there as well. When you look specifically at LaMelo Ball, do you ultimately think he'll hit that potential, or will it be kind of like his brother where he's still trying to figure it out in the league?
You know, LaMelo has superstar-type potential. LaMelo has the ability to captivate a franchise, and he's got unbelievable size at the lead guard position at 6'7". Now, one of the things in preparation, obviously, every year for doing the draft that I do is obviously you study, obviously, the NBA games that are currently going on, and I'm not going to be somebody who comes in and acts like he's watching 80 NBA games a year, but Zach, you've seen the importance in these NBA games of having a dominant lead guard at the point of attack. Ja Morant has been able to hit the NBA at an all-time pace because he's playing with better players around him versus what we saw at Murray State. I mean, he's now operating with more autonomy, with more space, with more options around him. LaMelo Ball, from a table-setting perspective, has a chance to be a lead guard in the NBA that can anchor a franchise. But obviously, there are warts. not a great three-point shooter yet. Also, he sometimes looks like he signed a non-compete clause on the defensive end of the floor.
John Rothstein here with us from CBS Sports. When we get to Tyrese Haliburton from Iowa State, who's the comparison? Who's the player comp for you when you view his game?
DeLon Wright, I think, is a safe one right now. I think Tyrese Haliburton will be a fine player. Now, from a jump shooting perspective, he's been over 40% for the last 2 years, but there's a little bit of a hitch in his shot. The shot for Tyrese Haliburton, it's not the exact same, but remember when Lonzo Ball came into the league, there were some questions about his, obviously, you know, shot as well. Tyrese Haliburton has a chance to be steady. You know, he could be a good secondary ball handler. He's the type of player who, if he played on a team like Houston, where James Harden had the ball for a lot of time, he could be in a very good off-the-ball, you know, ball-type guard. So I think he's, you know, got a chance to be a solid player, but, you know, I don't see the star power right now with him at the next level.
The scouting report on Killian Hayes?
Crafty, lefty, cerebral. Shooting remains a question. I think other point guards could, you know, come off the board before Killian Hayes. Obviously, LaMelo Ball is going to be number one. The guy I think that's ironic that, you know, not a lot of people are talking about because, you know, a year ago, especially early in the season, he looked like he was going to have a Trae Young-type freshman year, was Cole Anthony. Cole Anthony, coming in the last season, talking to several college coaches, was on his way to having a Trae Young type of freshman season. Now, there were a lot of reasons why he didn't. Number one, he obviously had a bad knee injury. Number two, the supporting cast that Cole Anthony played with at North Carolina was one of the worst supporting casts that any North Carolina star perimeter player has ever played with. North Carolina last year, remember, had to take two graduate transfers to fill out its rotation. Justin Pierce from William & Mary and Christian Keeling from Charleston Southern. And Roy Williams came out publicly and made a statement that this was the least talented roster that he had ever assembled. I mean, Cole Anthony didn't have a great season. I know he battled some injuries. But you got to remember, he did go for 18-6-4 as a freshman with a limited supporting cast. And people are saying that the guy underachieved.
Give me a few more players that you like that maybe not many people are talking about right now when we look at this lottery.
Well, let's go through the rest of the lottery. I think right now the highest floor in the lottery in terms of a known commodity is Auburn's Isaac Okoro. You look at what Isaac Okoro can do on the defensive end of the floor. He's already an NBA-level defender. And with Isaac Okoro's back, you don't get 50-50 balls. It's 90-10 balls because of his intangibles. The jump shooting needs to improve. 29% from three last season, only 20 made from downtown. But he is somebody who can go into an NBA game right now and play defense. Sadiq Bey from Villanova, and we've seen what Villanova players have done in the NBA, is a guy that I think you can plug in to an NBA rotation because of his multidimensional talent. Good size at 6'8", can pass, dribble, and shoot, and because of the skill development at Villanova, has become a much better outside shooter. 49 made threes as a freshman, 79 made threes as a sophomore. Would not shock me in time to see Sadiq Bey develop into a Chris Middleton type of player.
And then Onyeka Okongwu, do you like him?
A defensive arc menace. He swallows everything around the rim. Now, he's somebody who, again, incredibly efficient on offense, had a slew of games where it was better than 60% from the floor. He's not going to be able to stretch things out from the five spot like a Nikola Vucevic does for Orlando, but he'll be able to guard potentially five positions. Magical feet around the rim. And I think when you look at the way he could be used offensively, it's similar to the way you're seeing Bam Adebayo used right now with Miami. He's definitely somebody who can, an NBA franchise will get mileage out of at the five spot. And that's what I think you're looking at right now. You're looking, I think, at a draft where if you're looking to hit a grand slam, a home run, like we saw with Memphis last year with Ja Morant, you may be disappointed. But if you're looking to plug holes, if you're looking to get guys in your franchise who can be starters for a long time. That's the type of draft this is. That's why I think teams that have late first-round picks, like the Knicks, who have one between 25 and 30 and also 38th, I believe, in addition to a lottery pick, you have a chance to get value late, because I think there's a number of guys right now I have on my board that are going to wind up being productive players in the NBA that right now aren't being talked about in the lottery.
Now, give me a name or two, last one for John Rothstein, like a second-round guy that could fall in the second, end up having a successful career.
Well, I'm going to give you four guys that are not projected as lottery picks, okay, that think have a chance, you know, to be that could be good value picks. Kyra Lewis at Alabama, especially in a league like we talked about that is dependent on having dominant lead guards. To me, this is somebody who could be a steal. His defense improved dramatically in his sophomore season, 28 steals as a freshman, a 56, Zach, as a sophomore, good size at 6'3", and from circle to circle, as fast as anybody in this NBA draft, also shot better than 35 from three. Now, I'm watching, you know, Orlando yesterday, and, you know, or 2 days ago, the days run into each other, and I see the way Gary Clark, who at Cincinnati, who was developed by obviously a great coach in Mick Cronin, was able to kind of really become a face-up threat from the four. I'm seeing Jalen Smith from Maryland as a guy who's vastly undervalued because of his ability to shoot the ball. Now, he only made 32 threes, you know, last season, but he was effective at 6'10". And, Zach, 20 Big Ten games last year, 15 double-doubles. If this guy wasn't an All-American, he was a member of the Witness Protection Program. Another front-court sleeper, Washington's Isaiah Stewart. Isaiah Stewart, before he went to Washington, was recruited by Kentucky and Duke. If you take Isaiah Stewart off Washington and put him on Duke, people would be comparing him to Elton Brand. Now, everybody can say, well, Washington finished last in the Pac-12. You're absolutely correct. But Washington, before their starting point guard, Quade Green, was ruled academically ineligible for the second semester, had a win against Baylor on its resume, and I thought was the type of team that would have been an NCAA tournament dark horse to get to the Final Four because of Isaiah Stewart. One Pac-12 associate head coach told me that Isaiah Stewart was far and away the toughest player in the conference to deal with. One last sleeper, Robert Woodard at Mississippi State, built like a blacksmith, great length at 6'7", could have maybe used another year of college, but is the type of player defensively that can guard multiple positions in the NBA. He may have to fine-tune his offense. He's the type of player, though, I think that right now could go into the NBA and guard four positions.
John, you and the family be safe. Thanks so much. You're the best, my friend.
You got it, Zach. Congrats on all your success and continued success moving forward, man. Great to see you grow.
Thanks so much. That means a lot. There's John Rothstein.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.